Ken and Capital.
All right, welcome back to Ken and Capital Podcast. I'm your host, Mike, with my fellow hosts and brothers, Christian, Chris, and Alexis. Fellas, how we doing today? How did the week go?
Doing good. Had a good week. Been a little sick, but it's still been pretty good.
Yep, awesome, same. Awesome. Week's been good. Busy week at work and whatnot, but been very, very good. Very good week.
Alexis, how'd it go for you? Yeah.
And both, like Dion said, just been dealing with sickness. Can't hear out of this ear, so bear with me with questions and stuff. But yeah.
We'll try to yell at you.
Thank you.
I had a phenomenal week, man. This is probably the best week I've had all year. So
that's what's up.
I'm here for it. How did our next day steps go? From the last time that we talked, anybody do anything new or was consistent with continuation of the last step?
Yeah, I can start off. I think my last steps were to see about getting involved with that community at my job. Reached out to one of the guys who he actually does. He facilitates a lot of their sessions or whatever, fireside chats, whatever you want to call it. And I told him, like, hey, because I kind of mentor him anyway as well. I was like, hey, man, if you ever need somebody else, extra pair of hands or how I can get more involved. He was like, oh, that's all you had to say. He was so geek. So I'm supposed to be invited to some planning session for their next meeting that they're going to facilitate. Then I also reached out to an executive leader, had a one-on-one with him.
Nice.
I need to kind of start thinking about my next step. Where do I feel like I rate in certain areas within the IT organization? And he's gave me some homework assignments. And then when I'm ready, I'm gonna schedule some time, go over that, and continue to talk about next steps. So
how you feeling about all that? I mean, it seems you got a lot done from those steps. How you feeling? Like, you kind of nervous, anxious a little bit, or are you feeling a little more excited about it?
I think it's a mixture of both. And like I shared with him, you know, I'm an introvert by nature, so. Mm-hmm. Me reaching out like that it takes a lot of energy. And funny enough, mm-hmm. he said the same thing. He was like, oh, I'm an introvert too by nature. It takes a lot. But, you know, in order, like we've talked about this, in order to grow, you got to continue to take yourself out of your comfort zone. So that was something for me that's my way of getting outside my comfort zone. That way I can continue to grow. But I'm anxious, excited, nervous all at the same time. But we'll see. We'll see what happens. I'm pretty sure everything will work itself out the way it's supposed to. So.
Yeah. Christian, how did it go for you?
Went pretty good. Still working on some projects. Been keeping a checklist just to make sure I hit everything. The only thing that I failed on this week is working out portion just because I've been sick. But I've been staying pretty consistent with my Bible habits, with my reading habits on just different sales books and different stuff like that. Because I kind of got away from that too for work. But sales books, audios, and then just staying consistent with the work that I got on my projects and stuff. It's been going pretty good.
Nice. And sounds like you're still pretty excited about it anyway, from the tone of your voice, like everything you've been working on. Yeah,
absolutely.
Alexis, I know you're kind of coming out of the woodworks from the being sick and everything. So how did your week go?
It was good. I actually followed up on my email list. Like I said, I was going to. I got maybe like 2 more industries I got to hit up, because when I'm reaching out, you can't exactly say the same thing if it doesn't apply to them.
Sure.
Also, all the different things that I do for like graphic design, photography, videography, branding, social media, you know, whatever. I'm not always like pitching the same types of stuff. So I got to kind of tailor it to the client based off like, you know, what I see with like how I see their brand, like online, their website, like kind of looking for areas of opportunity so I can, you know, get the business more or less.
Yeah.
Sickness, the family's just been like a roller coaster. Just up and down. Yeah. And my main client, who it's like the agency I work with, we have a new client that we're onboarding this upcoming week, and we're letting go of the one we've been working with. So just kind of transitioning, exiting that client out. I'm about to wipe my computer of everything and then just trying to figure out this new client, what they're about, their branding, and so on and so forth.
continue to
Yeah,
provide.
your computer is probably about to weigh like 50 pounds less now because I've seen the storage on that.
But
How you feeling so far after, making all the contacts and emails and stuff like you had to get going, got a new client coming in. How are you feeling so far about everything?
oh, good. This isn't anything new to me.
Yeah.
These are more so me sharing thoughts that I always just keep in my head. I never really get to talk about it because I'll
Yeah.
talk all day about business and stuff. I try to like put that to the side when I'm around people.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm hype. I'm excited. Like one thing I love about what I do is I get to dive into these worlds and I get to learn something new, get a new perspective, and just kind of figure out how things work in that world. And it's like, oh, that's cool. Like I said in the first episode, I got to be a scientist at one time, or work with a race car driver, work with influencers or 10x speakers, or I think this
Yeah.
guy that we're onboarding, he works in like roofing and like home improvement type stuff,
Oh,
which I know a
wow.
little, I know a little bit about. So I'm kind of excited because I got a house and things break, as you all know. So
Right. Oh, yeah.
hoping I pull something
Yeah.
away from that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, my day, like I said, was, I mean, my week was pretty phenomenal. The steps that I took were really good. I went ahead. I officially have a business now. Well, I officially have a LLC. I had a business before, but I'm officially a corporation.
Nice.
That was one of the things I had to get done. That was the next steps that I was kind of holding back, but went ahead and grinded through. What people don't realize that's entailed with it. You got to have a business address, business email, and then they can go file for the business and they go through all that work. And then when they get done with that, then they go, okay, now you got to go take all this documentation and whatever else is needed to go then get a business banking account. That part we're still deciding on, but hey, that's the easy part at this time. So, got the hard parts out the way.
Yeah, congrats on
Officially
that.
started. Oh, thanks. Yeah, I officially just started throwing myself out there, just trying to take on extra work, learn things, and kind of just start building more for the business. So, I took on a big assignment for one of my old employers, who said they needed help with something cybersecurity related, something
That's the
out
one you
of,
talked about last time.
Yeah, that's so you went ahead and did it.
yes. Yeah, I went ahead and told him I'll do it. What I specified though was this. It's like, hey, we're gonna take this as slow as we can, make sure that we do it right. Because that's always a great concern of mine. If I put my name on it, it's not stellar work, I'm not gonna touch it. So
Thanks.
he's aware of that and understands that at some point other people might get brought in just to make sure we get this done when in a timely manner and in the, I would say a quality aspect. But today we're talking about getting into the workforce, mastering the craft, and advancing within your industry. So I think we can start with getting into an industry, picking a career path. And that kind of starts when we're young, coming out of high school. Sometimes we've maybe 30 years old and we're trying to transition to a new industry. So we're trying to help people out to understand what are the best ways to do that. One to get the skills to get in there, and then one to make your resume look good and get the eyes of people. One of the things I know for sure is networking. Like Chris, you were talking about it. Being an introvert will hurt you. Like maybe 10 years ago, everybody thought that was cool, but if you can't talk to people and network, it's going to hold you back a lot. So get used to talking to people, get used to going out to places where people are meeting up. Sounds like a lot of work to go to a convention or a workshop or anything like that, but you're going to learn a lot and then you're going to gain what I call allies, because when you need something, you never know who might actually pick up and have an opportunity for you.
I think one of the important things when it comes to choosing where you're going to go for work is just learning what's out there first, and whether that's talking to peers, like, okay, starting if you're straight out of high school or something like that, talking to peers,
Yeah.
talking to your parents, just finding out what's out there. I know that was kind of one of my issues was, my guidance counselor a lot of times would tell me, or ask me, what did I want to go into? And I kind of had an idea, but I didn't have any titles behind it. I didn't know what the title for what I wanted to do was. So knowing what jobs are out there, educating yourself on those, and then just
actually picking a something that's based around a title, based around a specific job. Because I went out there and just at first and just was just doing stuff. I was just like, oh, this job looks interesting, that job looks interesting. 'Cause I didn't ask anybody anything. I didn't know. I mean, obviously my pops was trying to push post office to me a lot, so that's one thing that I knew. But other than that, I just knew basic jobs like retail and warehouse and stuff like that. But knowing, like, okay, what's kind of the next step beyond that? Because those jobs sometimes don't really lead anywhere. So asking questions. One benefit about today's day and age, though, is we're in the information age, so you can get information about anything on the internet, on YouTube. If you got questions about anything, look it up, and really dive into research. Like, if you have an interest in sales, if you have an interest in IT, if you have an interest in graphic design or photography or whatever the case may be, dive into it and learn how to master it. To be honest, as fast as possible, because everything's always changing so fast, especially in industries like IT. Like, I hear y'all talk about all the time, stuff is just always rapidly changing. Try to learn as fast as you can. Sometimes that means putting down the game, hanging with your friends less if you're serious about your future. Really narrow in on your career path, focus in on it, read some books, and spend your time in it. Because when you finally start getting to the point where you are landing interviews, a lot of times people, even if you've never done it before, they want to know that you have some sort of knowledge base of what that industry is.
Yeah, I think what you touched on in your statement is like making sure you pick the right thing. And I know for me, it's like you said, interest, and that's the biggest thing that people fall short of, right? I think we like if you don't go after what you really want to do, you're going to just keep thinking about it as time goes by and kind of having resentment for that. And then not only that, it's you got to be careful who's telling you not to do something. Because one thing I've noticed is if they've never done it, well, how can they tell you the experience of it? That doesn't make any sense. Somebody's going to tell you, like, they told us you couldn't play video games for a living when we were growing up, and that look what people are doing. No one had the experience of even attempting it. So,
Yeah, that's a good
you
point.
know,
Like, get
yeah.
advice from people who've actually done it. That's a very good point.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And shoot for the things of interest. Don't shoot for the things of money. I think when people shoot for money, you're going to find out real quickly how not good that money is, depending on what you're doing, right? Because then you're locked in. And when you leave, you got to go find a new skill if you don't want to do that type of work again. Or I'll specifically say for security. I don't care how many jobs they say are out there for security, try getting one, right? You'll see on LinkedIn or something how long a job's been posted for. You see that job's been posted for 3 months. Look, I can't say specifically what the background details are on that, but just be mindful of it, right? They're probably not going to accept your application. It's a process sometimes when they're trying to get the job description down and everything like that. But once they start the hiring, like the interviewing process, that doesn't take much time at all. And to make a decision, to be honest, they really don't get, depending on what industry you're working in, they're not given a long time to actually hire that position. 3 months, I guarantee you, they've either decided that they're not going to hire that position for that position anymore, or they're deciding where to do with that money. Because wherever that budget came from, they're probably like, we don't need this anymore. Let's go do this. That's why, like, usually when they're hiring, if it's more than a month, it's probably not likely that they're going to hire for that position anymore. So be mindful of that. There's all kinds of things that come up when it comes to working in the workforce. Experience is a big one. However, you can get experience, and sometimes that means getting experience, but you're giving away your time for free.
Yeah, I think you both kind of touched on a little bit. Experience is key. Especially if you're diving into something new that's new to you, but that sparks your interest. You have to find a way to get that experience, right? And you're not going to know how to get that experience unless what we were saying, network. You got to ask questions. Hey, how can I get into this field? Where can I go to gain some experience? That little advice you gave the person you were talking to about helping out a church, that's awesome. That's awesome advice, because a church, once it's a nonprofit, and it's like they're probably not going to pay you anything. If they do, it's going to be a little bit, but you gain some experiences and you have a lot of room for failure.
There's some flexibility.
Yeah, you have some flexibility there because, like, you know, you're getting your feet wet, you're trying to figure it out, but they're nonprofit anyway. They're just happy to have somebody who's willing to help them. You know what I'm saying? So you can kind of get your feet wet, you know, play around with some things a little bit.
Yeah.
But yeah, really networking, do your research before diving into something that you might be interested in. Find something that kind of gravitates where you can kind of pull out your strengths. That's one of the things that when you interview for a company, they're going to want to know what your strengths and weaknesses are. You want to highlight your strengths. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Put some, get some stories built around your strength. You know what I mean? Some actual examples to where your strengths came through. So definitely find something that will highlight your strengths, but don't be scared of diving into something outside your comfort zone that can kind of highlight your weaknesses as well, because you can kind of improve on your weaknesses and turn those weaknesses into a strength. So yeah, do your research, network, and just find ways to just get that experience. I mean,
I think one of the things that kind of applies to what we're talking about, like the experience part, like Alexis, how many projects did you do for free before you did something to get paid when it came to like digital art?
A ton. I was always of the mind, if I was going to do something, I'd be doing something that I love, because I had a lot of jobs that I didn't love, like moving furniture or the isolation of security or working at a country club. I was just like, I don't want to progress here. So I was like, you know, if I had all the money in the world, what would I be doing with my time? And it was videos, photos, graphics. So I was always doing it for free anyway. It wasn't until I was actually trying to make a business out of it that I found out that it was like, oh, I have all these bodies of work. And it was so useful, like getting to where I am now. So everything you guys are saying about like just figuring out what you love and having that experience and stuff, all I needed was just the networking part. You know, kind of come hand in hand, have that experience. If you're visual, you know, have your website ready, have your assets ready, you know, things you've done, those stories, like all those are going to come into play with your networking as well.
Yeah.
So.
one of our points on here was to talk about, you know, the most in-demand skills for the next decade. For me, I feel like one that's undervalued right now is the trade skills. Everybody's going for all these digital-based jobs. They're neglecting the things that people actually require. And everybody lives under some kind of structure. And that requires some kind of maintenance. It's like, I think, look, we all know that most of the people that were doing it before are in the retiring age or have retired. And the new guys that's taking it over, one of the things that comes in question whenever I call one of those guys out is quality. It's like, do you really know what you're doing? Am I going to get what I'm paying for out of this? And that's one of the reasons why I've kind of just been taking it upon myself to figure out how to repair and fix things. But I feel like that's going to be one of the most in-demand skills in the next decade, because people, there's no way around it. You have to have it.
I agree with that. I know a lot of focus is on AI nowadays, and everyone's trying to automate everything with AI systems and AI agents and stuff. Actually one of them, but like you said, because everyone's kind of going digital, it just leaves space for brick and mortar and stuff like that to kind of just those skills, those on you know, hands-on skills that a lot of people have.
Well, a lot of people are looking for, a lot of people are looking for remote work and things of that nature too, for work-life balance. And I mean, that is true. A lot of hands-on jobs, they don't offer, I mean, you work a lot of overtime. They maybe don't offer a lot of benefits. They sometimes don't have a great projection on growth and when it comes to position, or sometimes even income, depending. But when it comes to stability, it's definitely, you know, trades are definitely a good industry, because like you said, they're always going to be there. You know, some jobs come and go. And again, I've seen y'all talk about IT and how some positions come and go and disappear, and, you know, look, you got to keep looking for new work and stuff like that. If you're doing HVAC or plumbing or carpet cleaning or something like that, you don't necessarily have to worry about your job going anywhere. And a lot of times there's good opportunities, like sales opportunities and stuff like that, for sure. Definitely a lot of hours, but
Oh,
definitely
yeah.
some good opportunity to make a solid income and stuff like that. Obviously, I always recommend just like we've been talking about, just do your research, see which one makes the most sense to go into. But they're definitely you can definitely make some good money in the trades for sure. I've seen a lot of people recently. I don't know if y'all seen it. A lot of people starting plumbing. I've seen a lot of new plumbing trucks around. I've seen a lot of new. So I think people are actually like doing that. Like what we're talking about, like a lot of new HVAC companies or
Yeah.
shoot, I'm losing the thought, but cleaning companies. I was gonna say like Molly Maids type of companies, like cleaners,
Yeah.
different stuff like that. So I think a lot of people are thinking about that and keeping that top of mind, because you're always gonna have stable
Yeah.
work.
I think the issue for it is just because if you think about, the start of COVID, I mean, people are still impacted from then. And we got current changes now that's impacting people losing jobs left and right, and it's become this thing where there's an imbalance between industries. And so some people are looking at the things that they can do on their own, because one of the reasons why I started to want to have my own business, because if I have control of it, projecting how the industry is going to do, that comes and goes, but am I going to fire myself? Probably not. Somebody else can fire me without me even know it's coming. Or I could know it's coming, and then it makes it even worse. And so then it's like, now you got to go through the search of finding a job, when if you own the business, it's like, I just keep marketing, advertising, asking people, and somebody's going to say yes to some work, right? And I think one of the things about remote work and all these digital jobs is people don't realize some of the cons to it. Yeah, you get more of the better things when it comes to like benefits and pay. Like, yeah, those things are great, but when you're at home, guess what you don't do? You don't drive to work, you don't drive home, you're always home. There is a sickness, in my honesty, when it comes to working remote, right? Like, it's like you never leave the house, and so you're always itching for a reason to get out the house. On top of that, what people don't see happening in the industry as far as remote work is they're trying to eliminate that.
I've seen that
A
too.
lot of jobs are like canceling all these remote hires. They're firing people, laying them off for being remote because they want people to come in the office. And so they give you a timeline that says, hey, if you're not in by the end of this year, you won't have a job by coming into the work, into the office instead of working remotely. So, like, it's good, it has great benefits. Like, I save so much money by being at home, but there's also some cons to it. And I think people also have to be aware of that, because no one's talking about the issues you might face by working remotely.
Essentially, your brand is you and the type of mark you make in your industry. Even I even look at your resume as your brand a little bit too, because it's, I mean, how companies kind of look at how maybe that doesn't matter in certain industries, but they look at how long you've been at a certain job. Like, what kind of mark are you leaving behind? What kind of history do you have? What kind of person are you? So now, I mean, like you mentioned on LinkedIn, a lot of people are kind of treating it like social media a little bit, but companies want to see who you are. They want to see what kind of stuff you're putting out there. So a tip for sure is, I mean, we've probably all heard that too. Like, watch what you put on your Facebook, watch what you put on your
Yeah.
Instagram, because that stuff matters. If you're putting a bunch of party pics on there, that's a no-no. Like, you want to leave a positive mark out there for employers to see. Or even if, because that translates to in business. Like, if you're doing an online business or a physical business, your brand is, some people mistake your brand for, like, oh, I gotta make a logo, I gotta, no, your brand is you. Your brand is who you are as a person. Your brand is what do other companies think of you. So if they call your previous company, or if they call your references, what do they have to say about you? That's your brand. Everything has to line up the same. You can't sit here and you tell your references, well, tell them I'm a good person, but then they can see on social media like, oh, this dude's kind of partying and doing all this goofy stuff. Like, make sure everything lines up. Just if you live your life with integrity and purpose and you're always doing stuff that you're supposed to do, you won't have to worry about that. But I think just, I don't know the exact definition of brand, but that's how I look at it. Like, what feeling do people get when they see you?
No, that's exactly what a brand is one is, what do people, like you said, what do people feel when they see your name and your face pop up? But ultimately, it's pretty much, what do you want people to feel or think about when somebody mentions your name, or if somebody sees your name? what do you want to portray about yourself, right? That's pretty much your brand. You know what I mean? Like, even in the current workforce, wherever you're working in your current career, like, what's your brand in your current, your current career? Like, what do you want people to know about you? Do you want people to know, like, hey, so and so is very reliable, very dependable. You know, we could put him on this project and he'll do whatever it takes from start to finish to make sure the job gets done within the timeline, right? It could just be as simple as, hey, we know so and so is good about making sure everybody feels included, everybody gets a say so, things like that, right? Like, what is that's pretty much what your brand is. It's really all encompassing everything that you want to portray about yourself
Yeah, absolutely.
and really putting yourself out there. But you touched on something, Mike, about what more people need to do is like having like a portfolio or something like that, that where they can kind of show their experiences, especially, I guess it really depends on the field. If it's
It
like a,
does, yeah.
yeah, it depends on the field. But if there's something like
Yeah.
in IT or in graphics design or something like that, if you could put together a portfolio, kind of record and showing some things that you put together and just kind of send it along with your resume, it goes a
Yeah.
long way. I think I just hired a person on my team because he did so, right? Like
Right.
his previous role, wasn't really hands-on with IT work like we were wanting, but he put together a portfolio showing things that he's touched.
Yeah.
That gave him a leg up, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then also
Totally.
touching back on the with Christian, what you were saying about, employers starting to, well, I think it might have been you, Mike, employers looking at LinkedIn and your social media. It depends on the company. You're not really necessarily supposed to look at
Oh,
their
yeah.
social media and things like that.
Okay. Well, it depends because I did two jobs where they did a background check. And it states in that document you signed that they will look at your social media outlets
Oh yeah, well, that's from an
to
HR
also,
perspective. But from a hiring manager perspective, I can't go out. I wouldn't be able to
Right,
go out and
exactly,
look at that. But oh, HR, yeah, when they do that background check, oh yeah, it's open bag. It's open season.
Oh yeah.
Definitely.
And that's but that's important to keep in mind to what Christian was saying, like they can deny you the role based on that information. Once it gets to HR, they go, "Nope, I'm not liking his character
Yeah, because they're
based on
going
what
for a
I'm
certain
seeing."
culture, you know what I mean? They're going, if they're trying to maintain a certain culture that's professional, that care, if they see you behaving in a certain type of way, it's not a good look for your company because other people can look you up too. And sometimes, I don't know, we're visual creatures. You can kind of tell sometimes how somebody is from their pictures. If they're clowning in pictures, not that you can't clown when you're off of work, but just don't put pictures of it on social media. Be careful what you put. You know what I mean? So you just got to be wise in what you're doing, because you want to give yourself the best opportunity to win, for sure. But I definitely like that what you said the dude did with documenting, even with him not having a background in what he was applying for. There's still ways to document if you're create, you know, if you're create, if you're creative with it. I think that's very smart, and that way you can show visual proof versus just talking about it when they ask you the questions. I think that's very creative. That's very neat.
Which kind of leads into like mastering the craft, right? The only way you can get better at doing something is by continuously doing it, exposing yourself, right? Somebody talks about, don't know where this saying comes from, but it's been around forever, about like 10,000 hours and something will prove that you're a master at it, right?
I've heard that.
So don't be counting hours, but you know,
Get to
that
it.
means you have to daily be doing that work in order to be a master or at least decent at it, right? So that's kind of my take on mastering the craft because you have to do it consistently. You have to understand the new techniques and the old techniques. Don't just get caught up in just the new techniques because sometimes a way of doing something the old school way might save you, right? Like if you get stuck or something like that. So having both hand to hand kind of helps you out with mastering the craft. I'll kind of let you guys talk about like in ways that you see mastering the craft in your own field or in some other kind of field.
Yeah, because I do like a lot of things. I'm really good at like learning things. Like you said, kind of like I study the new, keep up with the old, obviously. And then I like talking to other people who do what I do as well, because
That's a good point, yeah.
that I might not know, like you said, older people, older photographers, they got older ways of like old skills from like taking pictures and stuff like that, using like strobes and that nature. Light metering. What else? even like getting clients and stuff. And this is personal. I'm kind of
That's
personal
pretty cool.
experience type
Yeah.
stuff. I'm just trying to think back, like some old heads to be like, "Hey man, let me learn something on you real quick." And I'm like, "What's up, man? What you got for me?" I'm always like ready to receive, even
Right.
from like younger people. My intern, he was showing me some stuff. This little like stick video thing called a DJI Osmosis something. I'm
Yeah, my old boss showed me one.
That thing
It's
was
got a
crazy.
gimbal. It's got a
Yeah,
gimbal. And he
on a
was like,
stick.
look, on a stick, man. Little
Yeah.
thing like that. Yeah.
So like, had he
Yeah.
not like shown me that, and I could have easily been like, I don't know, pretty sure the sensor's terrible. It's really small. I'm not really. It's not a frame camera. Like, I can get into that world really easily because that's just how I'm like trained to look at it. But I'm showing it to me how I could flip portrait. I'm like, oh, okay, I'll probably add that to my rig. So while I'm shooting vertical video, I can shoot horizontal video as well. Just kind of taking in the knowledge and figuring out how I can make it work for me. You know what I mean?
The
Like,
thing my boss told me about it was like, it's quick access. He's like, it can always be in the car, and if they need to shoot anything, he's like, boom, he's
yep.
got it right there. And then, yeah, he doesn't have to carry all the expensive equipment and heavy stuff to get work done. He's like, all
Yep.
right, vacation time. Look, here we are.
Yeah.
Chris, how do you feel about, like, what do you think people who struggle with mastering the craft comes from? Like, what do you think is one of the issues that they face with something like that?
Fear of failure.
Yeah.
Because I think, when you try to go into something, you want to master it. It takes a lot of time, patience, and resilience to really try to master something, let alone go out your comfort zone and just delve into something that you're not used to. But I think a lot of people just fear of failure, fear of what people may say, fear of not completing the task. And just, subconsciously, like, man, I couldn't do it. It's something I wanted to try out. I wanted to master it, but I just can't get there. There's nothing wrong with you're gonna constantly learn new things, right? I know there's this term of being a subject matter expert, especially in the IT field, to where you're kind of on that level to where you're considered a SME in your area, but that doesn't mean you're a master. It just means you have enough knowledge and experience to where they can reach out to you if they have a problem. So to me, you can't, there's no such thing as a master of being a master of anything, but I think that's what it is. I think just people are just, it's just that fear of failure. Just trying to master something, especially in, depending on your field, your career, things change so much. You kind of feel like you can't keep up. And a lot of people's default is just to back off, or it like it's getting too uncomfortable. I'm done. You know what I mean? But you got to just keep on learning, keep on applying yourself, and you just continue to grow. Don't be afraid to, don't fear the unknown because you don't know. You don't know what you're capable of. You know what I'm saying?
That's
So
true.
just keep pushing forward. Don't be scared of failure, because from failure you take your lessons learned and you just apply it moving forward and you get better.
Can I piggyback on that real quick by saying, kind of what you're saying about like being scared? It's really helpful to talk to people that are doing the thing that you are trying to do. They're going to know the ins and outs of that. Like, at least from my experience growing up, a lot of people would discourage me when doing new things because they
Oh,
didn't
yeah, same.
know. It's got this echo chamber that they can't do it. Of course, you can't, because I can't. I haven't figured out a way to connect the dots to be successful. So, hey, let me tell you about how all the ways it could go wrong. So it's really important to seek that out and liberate yourself so you can give yourself an opportunity to grow to become that.
And also it's important on the same lines is have a support system. Even if somebody doesn't have that experience in that area trying to explore, just have somebody who can just be your cheerleader in the back. Like, hey, I got you, whatever you need. You know what I'm saying? You got this, man. Just try it out. It's really all about having a good support system, having that good network, because if you don't, you're trying to do it alone, you're gonna crash out. So
I think it's important too, because we talked about it in the last episode, like find a mentor. Like if you have the ability to know where those mentors are, go ask to be under their wing to do things. And then if you are a mentor, don't be afraid to go seek the mentee, right? Because that's the whole purpose of our channel, right? Like to make sure that we're giving information that we have that we know is beneficial to others.
Right.
And if so, it's like Alexis, right? Like you've had interns, right? That's technically giving somebody the knowledge and the opportunities to actually go test and try it, right? Like that's the biggest thing. And sometimes if you can just say, hey, you want to come roll with me? We go tackle this real quick. Man, you know how many people light up from that kind of opportunity? Like, no money has to be involved, but it's just like, oh, I get to go do something cool, right? Like when my dad would take me to go work on something in the house, it was rare. But he'd be like, hey, you wanna help me fix this furnace? I'd be like, what? Yes. Say less. I'm there, dog. Like, I might break something and I get kicked out, but hey, I tried. Like, he brought me into it, right? Like, we have to have both sides working, being consistent. I struggle with being consistent, right? I find myself able to be consistent with certain things, but Christian, you were talking about one of the things that I asked you, what are you going to do for your next step? Every time, be consistent. Be consistent. I'm pretty sure when I ask you today what you're gonna do for your next step is gonna be consistent. How do you stay consistent, right? That's hard, right? Because sometimes motivation plays into that.
Sure. I would say try to get away from being motivated, to be honest. Just it's all
Okay.
about discipline. You talk about that in the military, they talk discipline. It's a being consistent is a discipline-based thing only. If you only do something when you're in the mood, you're never going to do it. Same, we all work out, we've all had experience with sports or something like that. You don't feel like doing it all the time. And you're never going to get your result if that's what you're basing it off of, because
Exactly, yeah.
you're going to have hard days, you're going to have hard weeks. You have to be determined to be successful in what you're trying to do, and you just have to make the choice to do it. I mean, everybody struggles with consistency at something, and when you
Yeah.
narrow it down and you look back at the things you've been successful at, it came down to consistency. Like, for instance, y'all remember I used to be extremely skinny. Still kind of skinny to me, and maybe that's just me, my mind playing tricks on me, but I was like 135 pounds at 6'4", and I made the choice to, I'm tired of being skinny. So I started eating and working out consistently to the point where it was almost obsessive.
Yeah.
And that taught me something about myself, that if I can do that, I can do something else. So I started taking that into my career as well. Okay, I start looking at, okay, it's about if I want to make more in my sales, it's just about shots on goal. It's about how many people can I get in front of and consistently perform at a high level, even when I don't feel like, oh, I'm having a bad day, I don't feel like talking to nobody. You ain't gonna make no money. So you gotta be willing to just do it, eat regardless of your mood.
Yeah.
And God's been speaking to me on that a lot lately this past year, because sometimes it is easier to do it at your job, because one, you got to. You're
Yeah.
not consistent at your job, you're gonna lose your job. So you're forced to do that. But okay, what about in
Yeah.
your personal life? What personal projects, or maybe that business that you've been putting off, or that, maybe those workout habits that you've been putting off? That's the difference between people that stop their New Year's resolutions and people that continue to do it and actually reach their goal. That's the difference between people that get that promotion and the people that don't. You
Yeah.
have to stay consistent at the things that you say you're going to be consistent. And sometimes there's no magic move to it. Like, I've always operated on, like, I hate setting big goals because sometimes they seem impossible. But it's funny when you make like little tasks along the way that you consistently hit every single day, you end up
Yeah.
getting close to that. Like, for instance, I'm gonna share because you're not yet, you know, I'm doing working on comic books. When you do the math on a comic book, there's been years where I've done virtually nothing, or it's just sporadic. This year, I'm focusing like, okay, each of my comic book chapters are about 100 panels a piece. If I do a panel a day, that's three episodes by the end of the year.
Yeah.
Set a task to do that at the end of the year, I'll have something rather than nothing.
Exactly.
That little checklist like that, even if you don't hit your end goal, you're still going to come close to it, or you're going to be in a better position than when you started, just by making sure you stay active at something. Whether and get the mood out of there, because the mood, if you're a person that focus on mood, you ain't gonna get to the
Yeah.
goal, period.
That's why I kind of was asking when we started this, first episode, I said, what are your next steps tomorrow going to be when you go back to work? Because Having somebody remind you that you need to do it too is kind of really hold you accountable, because you have to, I think you have to hold yourself accountable too when you set a goal for something, right? When you just go out and say, I want this. All right. Now, how are you going to get there? I have to hold myself accountable every day. There's little things I do to force myself to do things because it's like I can't avoid it at that point, right? Like waking up early in the morning forces me to get things out the way that I know I have to get done before I have to go to work. Because if I just wake up 30 minutes before I go to work, I ain't getting much done. And when you got kids, that's really hard because you ain't getting that time the rest of the day until they go to sleep. And by then, you're really tired. So it's just finding things that you know is going to force you to keep doing it. And it's something that everybody has that they know if they set it, it's going to force them to have to go do it. Everybody got something like that. And I think if you don't, you got a bigger issue coming. Right, because at that point, that can't make you go do anything, nothing.
What are some steps you have taken, or maybe some steps you think others would benefit from on how to advance in that career, advance in that endeavor that they're trying to pursue?
Okay. Well, I'll section them off into two different things. So I say if you're trying to advance in your career, it comes down to kind of what we've been talking about on all our previous episodes, getting out of your comfort zone and networking, talking to the right people. Sometimes you have to get in front of maybe your management. Or whatever the case may be, you have to improve your communication skills and go after what you want. Master whatever you're doing. So improve your ability to learn. And I didn't say that wrong, because some people think they have learning disabilities, but they don't. And it's an issue of just you have to do it. You have to read books. If you got to read the book multiple times, if you've got to watch videos multiple times, you don't have a learning problem, you just have an attention problem. And you just have to sometimes get maybe in the habit of writing things down when you're listening and reading stuff. But I think advancement at anything, especially in your career first, is showing that you're competent enough to move to the next step. Because nobody's going to promote you if they don't feel like you're ready for it. So if you go and talk to your boss and ask them, well, I want to be a supervisor, and you've shown no supervisor qualities, they're not going to hire you. They're not going to promote you. You know, that was something that I made the mistake of doing at one of my first jobs at Costco. And I was one of the younger guys that went out for a position. And I knew a lot of the stuff on the computers and things like that, but I wasn't really good at communication back then at all. They didn't see in me those traits of a leader. It's not sometimes just about the implementation of a thing. You still have to show that you're able to lead a team and lead people and direct people where they need to go. A lot of times that's what higher up positions are about when you're in management and stuff like that. It's not about you doing the implementation. It's about you leading people in that in the implementation of that thing. And that's what the position is as a whole. As far as in your own personal endeavor, same thing, consistency. Learning, reading. Learn faster, learn more, read more. Educate yourself on whatever you're trying to improve on, because you'll never know what you don't know if you don't seek what you don't know. The Bible says, seek and you shall find. You have to seek. That is the most important step on anything. You'll never move forward if you don't know what you're moving towards.
You touched on a lot there. I think, I mean, we've talked about it, just getting outside of your comfort zone for one, but education is key, right? You know, if you really want to advance your career, pretty much hone in on what you want to advance in, right? And just kind of just study, you know, rate yourself. Where am I currently in this portion? Like being a leader, where am I currently from? Rate yourself from 1 to 5. Am I at a three? Am I at a one? Am I at a two? And if you're like on the lower end of the stick, kind of just start networking, asking questions with your supervisor, other leaders, to kind of see what you need to do to advance your career. But also, I think it's important to note that you want to be intentional. So if you're really serious about moving forward in your career, whether it's leadership or learning this new skill or whatnot, be intentional. Put forth the work, the effort, you know, reaching out to people, your own research, and hold yourself accountable, right? Like, make sure you make it a part of your curriculum, your own curriculum. Like, hey, today I want to make sure I study up on this, or today I want to take this leadership workshop, or today I want to reach out to so and so. Like, you got to be intentional about really wanting to move forward with advancing your career.
Yeah, absolutely. And to go into real quick too, that kind of goes hand in hand with branding, just everything we've been talking about today, but branding specifically, becoming a person, becoming a certain type of way that people can see you and they can see who you are. That's who people are promoting. That's who people are hiring. They're hiring the person. Sometimes people will hire you based on you more so than your skills. You know what I'm saying? So, and real quick, just to pull a scripture that I remember thinking about it. I had to look it up real quick, but it says in Proverbs 22:1, a good name is more desirable than great riches. To be esteemed is better than silver or gold. And that goes into what you were talking about, Mike, a little bit about let the money go for a minute and focus on doing something that you like, becoming a better person. All those things have to come first before you can get the income portion of it. If you haven't got the skills, if you haven't become the person, you're not going to get the thing.
I'm gonna give an example real quick of that. If you look at YouTubers, the ones that are super successful, the ones that probably have been doing it the longest, they didn't come in busting through the seams, right? Success, millions of views, stuff like that, right? Some may have gotten millions of views at one point, but they didn't always have millions of views every time they uploaded. So you think about, well, how did they get to the point where they have millions of subscribers? It's the work ethic that they put into it. And most likely, they're doing something that they one, enjoy, and two, don't think about when it comes to just it making money, right? A lot of YouTubers I see with millions of views, millions of subscribers, they're doing things that they enjoy that they're not really expecting any kind of monetary value out of it. Like we talked about this offline about the guy who was going around cleaning up sidewalks and people's yards and landscape. Dude's got millions of views. It was like a video was uploaded a month ago. It's like, yo, what's going on? Am I missing something? Barely talks in the video. He's just doing work. And not only that, no one's he's doing the work for free. Right? It's one of those things, it's like if you're always going to expect monetary value out of it, the moment you don't get it, you're going to be very, very resentful of it. If you do something knowing that you're going to love it and enjoy it no matter what, it when the money kind of disappears for a bit, I promise you it'll come back. It'll always come back. Like that's how God takes care of his people, right? Like stay on your path. Don't deter off. The moment you deter off, then you're in a whole different just, situation. So I think that's just what it comes to enjoying what you like, right? That was the biggest thing they said that us millennials had an issue with is we wanted to have value and do things that we enjoy doing. And people were seeing that as a horrible thing. It's like, well, I don't want to go work in a factory. What happened to factory jobs? It's like, you gotta have that passion and you have to be able to do it and build up because you will see success. Like we talked about it, like we've all had something. We started, we quit. It's like, dang, I should have kept that going. I actually enjoyed doing it, but I wasn't making the money fast enough.
One key thing too is when it comes to job or just personal stuff is sometimes in your career, you're paid in direct proportion of how much value you bring to the company. So if you aren't giving a higher level of value, you won't receive a higher level of compensation. So a lot of people think, because and I'm saying this because I know I was one of them, think that you're going to somehow get the position without doing some of the stuff for free. You know what I mean? You have to go above and beyond and go out of your way to do certain stuff that maybe your position doesn't call for. Maybe you're not paid for that thing that you're doing. You know, bring some value to that company or bring some value to that manager specifically if it's a big company and you're not working directly with the owner. Same comes with business. You have to bring value to the marketplace or offer something of value before you get paid for it. You know, if you're going to in a sense, for instance, if you're going to clean somebody's carpet or you put in an HVAC system or, you have to give that value first before they pay you. They pay you at the end of at the end of that thing. It's the same way when it comes to getting promotions and things of that nature. You have to show that you can do it first. You have to be valuable. You have to be a valuable asset to the team before you can receive a promotion. It's not the other way around.
Yeah, I think it's important to know too that a lot of people don't even understand what that even means. A lot of people think that what they're doing is enough to get them to that next level, and they just expect it, right? I think it's important to note that if you desire for that promotion or that next step, you have to speak up. Get somebody else's perspective on the value that you believe that you're bringing, because you might just be doing what is expected of you at your specific role and be like, oh man, I've been killing it, man. I know I'm gonna get a promotion. And then you get a just a regular satisfactory rating or whatever. I'm like, man, I've been doing all this work. I was like, yeah, you're doing what you're supposed to do. What did you think was gonna happen? Well, I was hoping to go to this next step. I was like, well, one, you never let me know that. And then we could have kind of went back, kind of looked at everything you've done and what you need to do to propel yourself to get there. Right. So a lot of people don't understand, what it means to, I think we've touched on it being consistent. Yeah, you can go above and beyond once or twice, but that doesn't necessarily mean you're going to get a promotion just because you went above and beyond on this one project. It's got to be consistent. Your supervisor, your manager, or whoever from an outside team or outside organization has to know that every time that they come to you, you're going to go above and beyond. They don't even have to ask you. They don't have to give you an outline of things they expect from you or things that I don't have to provide direction. You know how to provide your own direction. You consistently go above and beyond to get to where you want to be, right? But my mantra has always been, well, two things: closed mouths don't get fed. If you don't let people know what your aspirations are at your current job, you're never going to get there. And then two, the money will come, right? Don't focus so much on the monetary aspect of it. Just focus on applying your skills, doing everything the best of your ability, going above and beyond to get to that next level. It'll come. Right now, there is something to be said when you are going for that new role. Don't set yourself too low, right? Believe in yourself, right? And believe the value that you can bring to an organization. But at the same time, in your current role or whatever, just know that money isn't everything. Just be consistent, be intentional, and you'll get there.
I think the other thing too is like when you say speak, let know your let people know your intentions, right? Don't wait until you hear that they're hiring for that next position to then say, hey, what I gotta do to get it? Like, bro, no.
Man, you touched
It
on something.
nah. Nah.
I just got that
That's
advice. I just literally got that advice from somebody.
you can't do that. And it's so funny because I've learned so much from you, Chris. So one of the things I learned was I came straight up and asked you. I said, man, how do I break into this industry? You told me how to get into it. I said, hey, how do you keep advancing in your career? And he's like, well, you got to just take on the work no one else wants to do. I said, okay, I'll do that too. And then from there, it was like, okay, well, I got that going. And then I got to also show other improvements. Like, one thing to advance is companies want to know how to improve the work conditions, the work production. You solve that problem or help aid in that problem, they got their eyes on you. Those are some of the things you have to keep in mind. The other thing, like I said, like don't wait to let people know your intentions. Soon as you know you want to go to the next level, to ask somebody, hey, what do I need to do and what kind of person would you be looking for a higher position? And like I said, this is before a position's even named or even rumored, right? Get that going because they will actually tell you exactly what they need. That's how I've gotten every position I've got up to this point. I always go to the manager, but hey, I feel like I've kind of, and these are my specific words, I've plateaued at this position. I think I need to start working on how to get to the next position. As soon as my managers hear that, they go, really? You can hear it in their tone how serious they think you are about it, right? So they start listing out these things for me to do. And I'm like, okay. And as soon as I knock them out, the next time position, I don't even have to say nothing when the position comes open. They go, hey, Mike, don't tell the team yet, but we got a position coming up for whatever. Maybe like, get your resume looking good because it's going to be an open position, right? So they're going to make sure the public can actually see and apply for it. And you get the inside scoop right then and there. I've done that literally every time I got promoted. And The reason why they do that, because I'm on that side now where I interview people and get the inside tracks to everything that's going on, is because if they have a good employee now that they need to be able to do the even more advanced skills, be able to talk to customers, things like that, they rather take that person than to take somebody outside the organization they don't know anything about, because
Right.
they might be bringing in a bad egg.
Yeah, especially if you're a high
So
performer.
those, yeah.
If you're a high performer, they're going to want to make sure to keep you happy and keep you propelling amongst the ranks. So they're going to invest. Well, I don't want a lot of companies want to make sure they want to invest in their people, right? There are some companies out there that just, they don't really care. But you got to, and that's, I think that's one thing we got to touch on too. You know, when it comes to advancing in your career and steps to take to dive into something, man, if you want to, let's just say if you want to look for that career with a specific company, you want to make sure you do research on that company, see what their culture is like. Culture is a big thing because, you're only going to make it as far as the person above you is going to allow you to. And it's all about building those relationships with people. Mike, you mentioned like, hey, don't wait until a job gets posted to reach out to somebody. Start that process as early as possible. Build those relationships because I don't care. No matter where you go, a lot of people get where they're at because they know somebody. I hate to
Every
say it, but
time.
that's really what it is. But
But
you
hundred
also
percent
have
every
that,
time.
make sure you have that brand, that your brand is solid, that they put trust in you. They're like, hey, I know if I put you into this position, you'll propel at it. You'll excel. So, yeah.
Well, 'cause like a there's like sometimes there's 300 to 1,000 people applying for the same position. How do you beat them? Some might call it cheating. Cool, I'm cheating. It's just that's what was going down, cheating today. Because you got to get in front of, if you can't get in front of somebody for an interview, you're not cancel it. You're not considered for the candidacy. I mean, it's huge when it comes to advancing in an industry. I think the other thing that's funny too, and I'm curious what Alexa is going to say this when I ask him, how do you advance when you're the owner?
I didn't
Because
think
that's the
about
thing too. It's still an industry. You still got competition out there. And it's something like I think as all of us, to be business owners, either now or in the future, are gonna have to consider like, okay, yeah, how do I peak, go above the peak and just keep going and going?
that. It's actually something I struggle with, honestly. It's kind of the reason I have interns now, because everyone kind of assumes what my goal is. Like, everyone assumes I want to be like this giant media company, or because that's what they see when I talk to them and when I work and stuff. And I was like, no, that's not the goal. I've always just done what I love, and it just so happened to align with money and making a living. That's just how it turned out. So when I talk to my interns, like, yeah, man, you need to like put me on payroll. And I'm like, I'm like, I need to put you on payroll. Like, it's come up with multiple interns. Like, and I'm like, why? Like, yo, bro, when are we gonna like blow up? When are we gonna like get a building and stuff? And I'm like, I've never, why? I mean, that kind of goes back to the first episode of me feeling like I haven't dreamed big enough. Because I kind of plateaued. I am where I want it to be at. And I'm kind of in a position now where it's like, what does the next steps look like for me? Is it actually hiring employees and getting a building and, traveling and stuff like that? Is that the kind of lifestyle that I want? Is it, AI has been kind of my focus lately. I'm kind of like trying to figure out if that's something that makes sense for me or not. It's literally something I've been doing some soul searching on. So I don't really have an answer on that because I'm trying to figure that out myself. But I'm doing my due diligence, making sure I do my research. Whatever it is that I do end up doing, I'm gonna make sure I speak to somebody, kind of figure out what comes with that. Like, what kind of investments do I got to make? Like, how does that affect my time? Because that, whatever I do, wherever I leave the house, whoever I interact with, it affects my family and my kids and stuff. Like, I take all of that into consideration.
I think it's awesome. I mean, folks, y'all heard it first here. Like, we get to chronicle that journey for you, right? Because you saying it right now, it's going to be interesting in a year to hear what your answer is then. Like, where have you gone? What have your thoughts been and aspirations been since, today? So I'm actually looking forward to that because that's kind of the beauty part, beautiful part about this podcast is like we're listening to everything we said now. Who knows when we'll go back and watch and listen to the episodes later, but you know, one thing I thought was interesting was I was listening to somebody on YouTube talking about how they keep a journal of everything that, you know, they said they were going to do. And one of them, who's not a YouTuber, but Logic the Rapper, on his last little EP he put out, he actually had a tape recording from 2009 of him talking to himself, right? And then he plays, you know, the track at the end of the EP. And he's literally like, I'm like, yo, he's listening to himself from 2009 before he blew up and had all the success and everything like that. And it's just funny because I keep hearing about stories like that. It's just like, mark what you say now, because in a year time, you're going to see change. In 2 years' time, you're going to see change. And, you know, so on and so forth, as long as you keep, you know, pushing and everything like that. So I think even as we're thinking about advancing in the industry, we're in one now as business partners, right? We're in the podcast business, right? And that's one thing to consider and take in mind is how do we advance in this industry, right? That's going to be an always ongoing, growing kind of thing that we're gonna have to sit down over time, be like, okay, what do we do next? You know, and each thing that we do is gonna be a step above what we did before. Might be more work, might be less work. But I thought it was interesting. I was like, well, we've been talking about working for other people. What about working for yourself and trying to make that thing kind of grow? Which is funny because we all were talking about it before we got on about like coffee mugs and t-shirts and stuff like that. And I was, you know, those kind of things, like propelling yourself. And we were just saying it because it would be fun and awesome and stuff like that, but it's also a serious thing to take in consideration.
Well, in multiple scenarios, when I was in the workforce, I always ended up making positions that didn't exist. Because I was always talking to the owner or something. I was just asking a lot of questions, like the whole like Facebook marketing thing. I originally was there to be a photographer, a product photographer. I was supposed to go into this cubicle with this little square with my camera and literally just take pictures all day and then go home. But I got to talking with the owner, and the owner was like, so like, what else do you do outside of this? Because I was only there because of COVID. I was like, oh yeah, I'm in like social media and stuff like that. I do photos, I do videos and things like that. And he was like, well, hold on. If you do social media, maybe you can get some of these things in this warehouse sold. And I was like, yeah. Some take pictures and like type it up and kind of build a brand around it or whatever. And he was like, yeah. He's like, hey, let's go have a talk real quick with HR. And he literally just made the position up on the spot. This is like day two on the job. Like, and he just kind of figured it out because they're still trying to figure out issues. Like they had a need and I filled it because I had a certain skill set and I spoke with him about it. Like some people get really timid around bosses and stuff like that. Like, I don't know if I'm arrogant or what. I don't care. I'm dope. So I just kind of embody that. I'm like, oh, you got a business and shit. Like, that's cool. Like, but I, if I wanted to do that, I could too. So I just kind of, I ask questions or like, I'm not afraid to kind of sit with them and kind of pick their brain a little bit.
Yeah, that's the closed mouths don't get fed
Yeah,
thing going right
exactly.
there too.
Well, that hiring manager was not happy about that either, because I guess I was above him at that point, and like I was doing things that he didn't know about the whole interaction. So like when I got my own office and stuff in a whole other building, he was like, "Where are you going? You're supposed to be over here." And I was like, "No, talk to the boss. Like, I'm not under you anymore. But if you want to talk about it, you can come to my office, and I'm more than happy to catch you." Energy was different.
I think taking ownership, and you guys can probably speak to this, like you have to take ownership of the things that you do, right? If you want to say pride, pride, but you have to treat it with care, like you really care about it, because that shows in your work, people see it, and you just never know what that leads to.
But that's what owners want to see too. I mean, a lot of people look at their business like their baby, so they want people that care about it. They don't, they're not hiring people that are just going to come do their job. Like they want people to give advice and help to have a mind of growth. Like how can we all move my business forward? You know, that's what they're concerned about. So when you show interest, are we recording this?
Yeah.
Okay.
We're not editing that
we had
out.
took a
We're
break.
not
Yeah.
editing that out. I
Well, we had took
love
a break and I didn't know we had started back up. And
that.
I'm
We
like, this is
didn't.
good stuff. So it's like, you know, but
Yeah,
when
I
you
never gave the signal, but what he said was so hot, I was like, we don't need the
Yeah,
signal. We
let's just
just keep
record. Yeah,
going.
okay. So, but you know, seriously, like when they're if you're a business owner, you want people that are committed to the mission and you want
Yeah.
people that are bringing good ideas. And that's wild too that you said that, Alexis, because I didn't even think about I kind of did that at my job too. When I first started my company, we just did, well, we kind of did some other stuff too, but we really just did carpet and water damage. And I started seeing stuff and I'm like, it's like they had some stuff on the shelf that was just dusty or in the closets, or you know, they send me to the store to buy stuff to the our supplier to get stuff. And I'm like, hey, do we do this? No, we didn't want to blah blah. This might be a liability. I was like, well, let me try it out. And they were kind of nervous. And now we do a ton of it. And that led me to go into Texas to do more flooring stuff with hardwoods and tile and kind of rebuilding
Yeah.
stuff and all that. It led to more because I was just curiosity
Yep.
and wanting to know more about something. And to be honest, some of it was sparked from like, I need more stuff to sell. You know what I'm saying? Like I need more things that are attractive to the customer. If I'm going in the house, I'm looking at all this stuff, but we only sell this one thing, but we can do a lot more with this machine.
Yep.
And I start asking more questions and having interest and looking stuff up on my own. And them seeing that sparks something in them because it's their business. Like, oh, this dude genuinely cares. And we should start looking into this, and maybe we can offer this to our other employees, and maybe we can do this, and it just leads to more. It leads to growth for your company, leads to growth for you, for other people. You're offering value. You're showing that you're valuable. You're showing that you have interest in their baby, and that's what they all want to see. You know, if you don't work directly with the owner, it might look a little bit different. But even the manager, still, if you're a manager, the whole reason you became a manager is because you probably did that anyway. You probably showed that you had a vested interest in the company.
Yeah.
And if your whole title is based around how can I, you know, I'm not just managing these people. I have to make sure that we're growing in our numbers, we're growing in this, we're growing in that. When you see somebody else that's not a manager stepping up and doing that, that's good. That looks good to you too.
I like what you just said there because it made me think about one of the roadblocks people may face, because I know we all have faced it, is sometimes the manager holds you back.
Bruh.
And I think people need to understand when you come across that, like you need to take action. Because when you said, like, if you don't have access to the owner, right, you got the manager. So
Yep.
say you don't there say you probably will never get access to the owner, but at least there's a director, a vice president, CEO. You can at least try, like, understanding the in the military, I can't even think of it right now. It's the chain of something.
In
But I was
the
gonna say
command.
chain of custody. Chain, yes, thank you. Chain of command. Like understanding the chain of command and understanding like who do you have access, because sometimes those directors might be like, I got an open door policy. So if the manager's holding you back, be one of those things like, hey, okay, I threw my ideas at him, threw my intentions at him, he didn't want to hear it. Make sure that you can go to the next level. There's instances where people
Or
do
get
it and
yourself
they're
in
not
trouble, yeah.
supposed to, right? And I think one of the things I struggle with was I always find myself very fortunate and blessed. Like I tell my wife all the time, like things just happen and I get opportunities. Now, not to say I don't work for them, but things just work out. And maybe just because my level of trust in it, or I don't know, but there have been instances where it's like I've done what I can, I hit that block, and then that doubt starts to creep in a little bit, because it's like, dang, what do I do now? Stuff like that. And I think what I'm gonna ask you guys is like, what words of encouragement would you give people that are stuck down? Because we got a lot of people right now that don't have work. Right, there's a lot of people without a job. and they're trying to figure out the industry to go into. They're trying to figure out whatever they can figure out, and they got a lot of people lying to them right now. Say right now, there's a lot of people on YouTube that y'all just need to be careful, because they're anytime I see somebody that says how to get something within 5 hours, or I made this amount of money within a week, or I don't want to hear it, I don't want to see it.
Yeah.
Like, show me the proof in the pudding, and then we can talk. But until then, I don't want to hear it. But we'll start with you, Chris. Like, what encouragement, what things can people do when they are kind of just down in the dumps? They're looking for work, or they're just trying to get out of a crappy situation, like get to the next level.
Oh man, that's a really good question. I think we all at some point have felt like that, whether it's just trying to find that level of employment or get out some type of crappy situation you're currently in. My thing is, one, just have confidence in your own ability, confidence in yourself. You know, a lot of us have, or we can pretty much suffer from imposter syndrome, basically not believing in ourselves and what we can bring to the table. So pretty
Absolutely.
much just have confidence in yourself and just realize that you bring value to whatever you're doing. And once you have that mindset, then you'll be able to move forward. Like, okay, got my confidence. I know I bring value to a company. Just, you know, network. We talk about networking, right? Reaching out to people. Don't be, I want to preface this too, because Alexis, you touched on something earlier about someone you were talking to that you were like, I don't know if he was an owner or manager or something, but you were like, I'm a business owner too. I could do, if I wanted to, I could do that. I think a lot of people, for some reason, it goes back to the whole chain of command thing. They're so nervous when it comes to reaching out to somebody at a more senior level than they are. Maybe it's a level of a respect thing, but what I'm trying to get at is don't be scared to go outside the box and go above your manager and reach out to somebody who's more senior level. So a lot of companies have an open door policy, right? You don't have to stick to the chain of command. If you're not getting answers from your manager, you know, if you know, like, hey, this is what I want to go, I'm not hearing what I want to hear, let me reach out to the director, his boss's boss, or his boss. You know what I mean? Like, just kind of see what their perspective is. And if your manager gets mad at it, he just gets mad at it. But you know, I mean, to me, like, I promote with, you know, in my job, my team is like open door policy. If you want to do something, do it. I'll back you. I don't, you know, my thing is, you know, I can provide only so much direction, but it's on you to own your career and what you want to do. I can't stop you. I can't stop you from applying for this job. I can't stop you from reaching out to this director. I can't stop you from reaching out to this hiring manager about this job. Do it. If that's what you want to do, do it, and I'll support you. So pretty much my whole point was just make sure you have that confidence. Step outside the box, outside your comfort zone. Try not to fall into that imposter syndrome. Understand and realize that you bring value to whatever, you know, whatever job you're applying for, whatever you're doing for current doing currently within your current career, and just continue to move forward, stay the course.
Christian, what you thinking?
I was thinking a couple of things. I think sometimes if you're not getting what you want at your current job, understanding one, sometimes you might have to leave.
Yeah,
Sometimes you might
no,
have to leave
seriously.
and just
Yeah.
look for another company. Sometimes the thing that you have doesn't exist, and the people that are above you don't want to make it exist. And if that's the case, because most jobs do have a ceiling, you're not the owner. That is the benefit of ownership, and that's kind of why we're on this journey.
Yeah.
The second thing I wanted to say was kind of in line with what you were talking about, Mike, where you were saying stuff just comes to me, and you have blessings and things of that nature. Well, I've always kind of lived by, in sales, proper preparation prevents poor performance. If you're not prepared when something comes your way, you're going to be exposed and you're not going to get it anyway. So
That
a
is
lot
very
of times
true.
when people come to you with an opportunity, you were ready for it because you stayed prepared. If you are stuck in the same type of position and you're not moving forward, sometimes you're always only going to get what you've ever gotten because you're the problem too. So you have to figure out what can I do to grow to actually make myself attractive to higher positions or make my ideas attractive to the manager. Not necessarily be manipulative or persuasive, but there are ways to get what you want. And again, sometimes it comes with leaving the company or starting your own thing or just upping your value. If you're stuck sometimes a lot of times it's an issue of you're just not valuable enough, and that's okay. That doesn't mean you're a crappy person. That just means you're rewarded in this world, not just in companies, but you're rewarded in this world by your value. It's straight up. So if you feel like you're oh, I'm stuck. I keep getting these where all I can I can apply for is warehouse jobs because I don't know anything. Then learn more. Just
No,
learn more.
facts.
Put
Yeah,
yourself in a
facts.
position of where you can get those types of jobs that you want. Maybe even like for instance, applying for certain jobs. If you're ask questions, reach out to the people that work there. I mean, we have social media, got LinkedIn, different stuff like that. See, like, what is the job? And ask people, what does the job entail? What do you guys do? What's the culture like? It goes back to what we were talking about earlier about asking enough questions. Sometimes even when it comes to promotions, the thought came to my head earlier was like, if you're just a it would sound stupid, but if you're pushing carts and you think I'm gonna be the best cart pusher out here, and then you're gonna sit back and think, are they gonna hire me as a supervisor now? No, they're not, because you're still only valuable as a cart pusher. So
Yeah.
you have to
Matter of
deploy
fact, go
yourself.
push all these carts.
Exactly. So you still have to be intentional about what you're building value in, or else you're just kind of wasting your time. So th there's a lot of different facets to the question, but if you're stuck, there's a reason, and 9 times out of 10, it's probably you.
Yeah. Alexis, how do you feel about it? What is something you can give encouragement on?
I guess I'm specific. If you're looking for work, there's a role called a PA, production assistant. They're pretty much always in demand from like directors. You can look up production companies, directors on like Facebook, LinkedIn, productionhub.com. You literally don't have to know anything. You just have to move stuff, lift things. Sometimes I might have you do like coffee runs. It could pay anywhere from like $250 to $300 a day. Just want to kind of put that out there for people that don't talk that language. If you want to, I don't know, maybe you want to get into video production, but sp speaking specifically to people that might just need work like right now,
Yeah.
like a lot of people don't know
No,
about
it's
this.
helpful.
Called a PA. Look at it.
Yeah. Yeah, I heard it, folks. PA, production assistant, which is super valuable because if they're needing it, you don't need to have like a history of doing it. Like,
I'm on
legit,
Facebook all the
200,
time, and
300 a day is pretty
people
good.
just make statuses. Hey, I need a PA for tomorrow. Like it could be real quick. Sometimes I need one.
Nice.
I don't pay $250 a day. Not on small. Don't message me looking for work. But it's out there.
I was writing down the things that you guys were saying that kind of spoke to me. Chris, you were the first one to say like believing yourself. To add on to that, like believe in God. One thing that kind of helped me get out of my slump when I was like really down on myself, not sure how to progress in my life before I got to the point where it's like we're going to start businesses and stuff like that, was I leaned on the Lord, and I asked him. I said, look, I'm going to lean on your understanding and your wisdom before anybody else's right now, because at the time I had YouTube, I had all these books I was reading, and it was so much information, it was overwhelming, and it got to the point I didn't know who to believe, I didn't know where to go in the direction. So always keep that in mind, because I've done that too to further my career and actually get into this industry. I always pray. One thing I always do before I take a certification exam is I pray as I'm sitting in that chair to take that test. Because I need all the help I can get, right? If you just think you're smart enough to pass those exams, sure, go kill it. Not me. I put the work in to study for it and get to a confidence level, but I'll take all the extra help that'll come my way.
Absolutely.
Another thing, Christian, you said this, and I kind of just put it into two words, and that's self-awareness. Because you said sometimes you're the problem. How do you know you're the problem? Like, sometimes you gotta check yourself. Like, we're not perfect, and sometimes we're not understanding the situation either. If you don't understand the situation, what's going on within the company, within your team, department, whatever, and you're expecting things are not happening, well, do you know what's going on? Well, right? That's what leads into, well, okay, maybe this company's not about to go any further. Maybe it's time to, I would say, jump ship, but just change ships. I believe, I can't remember who actually said this one. I think it was you again, Christian. Like, having multiple approaches, right? If one door closed, that's just one door. There's probably hundreds of other doors. Attempt each one until you find the success in it. A lot of times we will do insanity over and over and over again, which is literally doing something over and over again, expecting a different outcome. If you're doing the same technique, it don't work. Come on now, switch gears. You gotta change it up. A lot of times that's what shows advancement, is because you went at it a different way. A lot of times we're applying for positions and we apply for the position the same way each time. Christian, I took your advice last time. You were like, just don't hit the easy apply button and hope for a prayer. And I was like, dang, he's right. I probably do need to start messaging people. As long as they put their profile information, I got that message button right next to the job description. You get a message from me now. Because I think what we've learned out of this episode is do all the work required. Don't just stop at the resume you submit. All right. Don't stop at I just come to work and I do exactly what they expect out of me. Right? It's all the additional work that no one's paying you for, that you're not even expecting value out of. Because all that extra work is what leads to different things. Chris, you were talking about the guy you hired who had all this support. Like, have your evidence, have your receipts ready, right? Because if the door is about to get closed on you because they're not seeing it, it's like, well, I need to make them see it. How do we make them see it? You got to do all the steps and have multiple options. So with that said, folks out there listening, keep the dream alive. And hopefully the information and testimonies, we all gave today is to your benefit. Please remember to like, subscribe, and leave a comment. And until next time, ladies and gentlemen, go get some work done.